Morning, friends. Oh boy, that was dull. I haven't started yet and I think you're sleeping already. Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Thank you. That's great. Lovely to see you. Great to be with you. Thank you for the invitation. And for Isa and I, it's a great privilege to be back again in this good place. We have many, many years of happy memories coming to this house and being involved in the ministry of the word and with other dear friends. And we thank you so much for that. Let me just say very quickly, thank you also for your continued prayers and support for our ministry. We are now 14 years into that ministry from we retired from Cookstown. And the Lord has been blessing and encouraging as we go back and forward to Romania and help those dear friends there. So thank you for your faithfulness. We appreciate it so very much. I want to read some verses this morning, please, bringing, I trust, a word from the Lord. From 2 Chronicles 25, please. 2 Chronicles 25, we'll commence our reading at verse 5. Break into the reading there for the benefit of the words that we want to focus upon. 2 Chronicles 25, please take your time and find the place if you want to follow the reading. I know it's maybe a difficult book, come through the Old Testament and you'll come quickly upon it. One in 2 Samuel, one in 2 Kings, and then one in 2 Chronicles. You'll find it in that little niche in there. Commence our reading, as I've said, in verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, went to the valley of Salt and smote of the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive, and brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, and they were all broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, and from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Amen. We'll finish our reading there. Trust the Lord will bless that precious reading of his word to our hearts. Little poem I picked up some time ago. It says some things very thoughtfully. Talking about the Bible, God's word, it says, Think of it carefully, study it prayerfully. Deep in thine heart let its oracles dwell. Ponder its mysteries, slight not its histories. None can love it too fondly or well. Heed the glad tidings, the warnings and chidings found in this volume of heavenly store. With faith that's unfailing and love that's prevailing, trust in its promises for life evermore. Talking of the Word of God, of course, and what a wonderful book we have. Reminding us that as we come to this Word, it's God's Word. Not the word of man, not the word of humankind, but it is God's word. And one little challenge I want to leave with you, dear friends, today And that is the challenge of the verse we read just a few moments ago. For the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Throughout the years of ministry, I've discovered and talked with many people who are always looking back to a holy past, remembering how it used to be, and praise God for that. Wonderful to recount the blessings and name them one by one, and it will bless your soul to see what God has done. Then I've discovered others, and they're continually looking forward into the future in the hope that blessing will come, in the hope that they will find God at work in their lives. And that's, of course, something all of us surely desire, that we see God coming and working and moving in our own personal life, in our family life, in our church life, in our community life, and see God doing amazing things. You remember what Joshua said to the people of God in Joshua chapter 3. They were getting ready to go across into the promised land, into the land of blessing. They had lived in a land that was a prison to them for many years, 40 years in the wilderness. And now they were getting ready to go into the blessing, the land that was going to be full of blessing. And what an amazing time that must have been. And Joshua called them together and he said, okay, in 3 days we're moving out. The priests will move down and they will walk into the water in Jordan. And as they do, the Jordan will rise up all the way on the one side to the city of Adam and all the way on the other side to the Great Sea. And we will cross over dry shod. And he made this comment and he says, as we do and enter into the new land, God is going to do wonders or miracles among you. That being the case, go back to your homes, go back to your tents, and I'm using a little preacher's license there. Go back to your homes, go back to your tents, and sanctify yourselves. That little word's not in the original text, but it's in the Hebrew text. Today. Sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow God will do wonders among you. You see, that's the joy and delight of every believer, isn't it? That we'll see God wonderfully at work. So we've thought about those who live always looking back to the past, the holy past, and rejoice and enjoy the blessings of it. Or we come across those who live looking forward to the future, hoping for great days of blessing and encouragement. But sadly, we find many, some not looking back to the past or looking forward to the future, but living in a hollow present. Life is always empty. Life is always miserable. Life always gives them the rough end of the stick. Life is difficult. And then we wonder why. Well, you know, dear friends, don't you, that the word Christian is both a noun and an adjective. If I say to you, John's a Christian, I'm using the word as a noun. But if I say John's a Christian man, using the word as an adjective, that's the kind of man that John really is. And that's the kind of man that the man of God wants Amaziah to be. He wants Amaziah to be a man that is usable in God's hands. And that's what I believe, dear friends, God wants for his dear people today. And even those of you that may be with us today not saved, you need to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for you. And that plan and purpose is that we might walk with God in the light of his word. Then what a glory he will shed on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. You see, the gospel has been denied over the years. The gospel has been defended, thank God. The gospel has been debated. The gospel has been declared. And what God wants most is amongst people. People who he gives the opportunity to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, and to live the gospel. It must be demonstrated in every life. And that's God's desire. You remember when he found Abram away down in Ur of the Chaldees, worshipping sun gods and all the satellite gods that went with that. God spoke to Abraham having discovered him worshipping false gods, he spoke the word of God into his heart. And there was a change came upon Abraham. You remember he went into his wife and said that, to Sarah that they were moving out. Where are you going, Abram? No idea. I'm just going to follow God. That's what God wants for us, dear friends. He discovered Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. And over the years that followed, he detached him from that land and from that pagan worship. And having detached him from that land, he developed Abraham. He spoke to Abraham, lived with Abraham, walked with Abraham. Developed him that he may become a man of God who one day would demonstrate what God could do. You remember when he was given the task of taking Isaac, his son, his only son, to Mount Moriah. And there laid him on an altar and lifted the knife and ready to slay his only son, his beloved son. And God stepped in and stopped him. And you see, what God was simply doing was, having discovered Abraham worshipping idols, he detached him by the power of his word. And then over the years developed him and brought him to this place on Mount Moriah where he could demonstrate to the world at large. Look at that. Look at that. That's what can happen to a man or a woman who's willing to give their lives wholeheartedly, solely over to God. That's what could happen. And God has that, dear friends, desire for us. You remember when he was speaking with Isaiah, and Isaiah was writing the lovely prophecy of Isaiah. Coming near the end, God instructed him to write in 66 verse 2, the second half of the verse. He said, Isaiah, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a man that's poor. And I wonder, did Isaiah question that in his heart? What's going on here? And God was simply saying, Isaiah, I'm looking for a man. You remember God had done this with Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah had taken his eyes off the Lord and got his eyes on the king, and he depended on the king for so much. And when the king died, you remember Isaiah lifted up his eyes and looked heavenward, and they discovered the Lord high and lifted up, and God began to speak to him, and God began to move, and God allowed Isaiah to go through some situations. And he said, Lord, what is it with me? I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Lord, it keeps going on and on, and I've gotten away from you. And now that I see you high and lifted up, Lord, here I am, holy, willing, and able to service to again. What can you do? You remember God sent the seraphim, lifted the tongs, lifted the coals out of the hot altar, and touched Isaiah's lips. I'm not quite sure how that played out, but my word, that must have been painful. And then the Lord speaks to him, taking away the iniquity and the sin further down the chapter. And God says to Isaiah, Isaiah, who will I send and who will go for us? And I wonder how Isaiah reacted. I wonder, was he looking up when he heard that, because he was about to give an answer? I wonder, did the arm go up, maybe both arms, wondering what God would do when he cried, Lord, here am I. Send me. What? What are you talking about, Isaiah? See, you've been full of sin. You've been full of iniquity. Yeah. But God has cleansed me. God has started me over again. God has given me another chance. You see, dear friends, that's what God's about when he's talking to Isaiah later on. He says, I'm looking for a man, Isaiah, a man who's poor. In the Hebrew, it's begging poor. Like the beggar who sat at the gate beautiful. You remember, he couldn't walk, therefore he couldn't work. And they brought him to the gate beautiful every day to beg so that he could keep body and soul together. And of course he wasn't allowed to worship because being an invalid, he wasn't allowed into the temple. And then Peter and John came along, and you remember how they spoke to him, and he was asking, bakshish, bakshish, alms, alms. And Peter spoke, he said, well, money, we don't have any money at all, but what we have we'll give to you. What was it they had? Why, Jesus. And that was enough. And when they lifted him, why, he rose up, he jumped up, he danced, and away he went with them into the temple, because he was now ready to be used of God. And that's why I say, dear friends, God is looking for people to use. That's what the book of Chronicles reminds us. that the eye of God is running through to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those on whose behalf he can be strong. He's not looking for strong men and women. He's looking for men and women on whose behalf he can be strong. That's why the man of God said to Amaziah, listen, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Whatever it is you've lost, that money, forget about it. Whatever it is you're hoping to get, forget about it. Whatever the future holds, forget about it. Whatever fear may take hold of you, he says, I want you to know God is able to give you much more than this. He's reminding Amaziah that there's an ability of God to perform like no other. Can I encourage you, dear friends, today that there is an ability of God to perform. Not the ability of a pastor or a preacher. Not the ability of people around you. But there is an ability with God to perform. There's an ability for God to come amongst us, to come upon us and speak through you. You remember Paul had to leave the infant church he had birthed in Thessalonica. And he went back up the road to several other places and eventually settled in Corinth. And yet when he was writing back to them, he could say to them that infant church, and remember, they're not long saved. They're just newly born. But he could write to them and he said, from you sounded out the word of God. From you. It was personal. Sounded. It was a true note on the trumpet when it blew. And that what they were saying was true, it was real. From you sounded out, not their own imaginations, not their own ideas, but the word of the Lord. You see, he wants us to come and follow him. And he wants us to take this book seriously, as the little poem at the beginning said. He wants us to understand there's a work for Jesus we can do. And he wants us to give ourselves wholly and completely to that work. And he has the ability to do with us, through us. Even though, do you know that God uses failures? Yes. Isn't that amazing? And he wants to work even through you and me who have failed him. You see, how come? How come God uses failures? Because there's no other kind. We are all of us failures. We have all failed somewhere along the way. We have all messed up. We have all done something wrong. And yet he calls us. I'm looking for men. I'm looking for a man, Isaiah. A poor man. A man who will trust me for everything. Like the poor man at the gate when he got right with Christ. When he came to Jesus. He just began to trust him for everything. I'm looking for the man, Isaiah says, not only that is begging poor, but the man who is of a contrite spirit. The man who gets right with me every day before he goes out into the world to do whatever it is he has to do. And he gives himself to me and he allows me to use him as a vessel unto honor. I'm looking for a man, he says to Isaiah, who trembles at my word, who takes my word seriously and sends me out into the world knowing that I'm determined to live for him. You see, God is able. I don't have time to preach all of these this morning, but God is able to save. You're not saved here. God can save you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, however you're living. God is able to save. God is able to safeguard all of us. Whatever we are, wherever we are in life, God is able to safeguard. He's able to subdue the enemy that would come against us. He's able to supply the need. He says, I'll supply your need according to my riches and glory. He's able to succor. He's able to secure. He's able to supersede. He's able to do above and beyond anything that anyone else can do. There's an ability of God to perform. But not only that, dear friends, there's an enormity of God's provision. He says, the Lord is able to give you much more. Amaziah, whatever you've lost, whatever finance you've lost, whatever brings fear to your heart, whatever the future holds, God is able to give you much more. Not just as much as in the past, but he's able to give you much more. You see, Scripture reminds us, dear friends, there's exceeding grace, 2 Corinthians 9:14. But by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. You see, there's grace, Scripture reminds us, for every emergency. Grace for every contingency. Grace for every misery. Grace for every tragedy. Grace for every century. Grace for all of history. Grace for every victory. Look at the infant church again in 1 Thessalonians, verse 1, chapter 1. Paul looks at them, those first two verses. He says, you're all in God the Father. You're all in Christ Jesus. And I stopped there when I first read that and said, but wait a wee minute, Paul, what are you saying? How do you know they're all in God the Father? How do you know they're all in Christ Jesus? I know you were the evangelist, Paul, and you led them to Christ, but are you not boasting? No. I think he would say, no, Ken, I'm testifying. How do you know that then, Paul? Go down to verse 3 in that first chapter in 1 Thessalonians, and you will discover that he talks about their faith. And it's a faith that works. You will discover that they have a love, and it's a love that labors. And you will discover, dear friends, that they have everything that is needed to give back to God so that God can take them and use them. There's an enormity of God's provision. There's exceeding grace and there's exceeding power. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the work of his mighty power? Why? He's reminding us that there's power to change. Power to change hearts. Power to change habits. Power to change health. Power to change homes. Power to change hurts. Power to change hostilities. Power to change history. What is it that ignites that power? Why, obedience. The flowers of obedience grows. The flowers of service grow in the garden of obedience. And he says, listen, there's exceeding grace. There's exceeding power. In case you're wondering about serving the Lord. In case you're wondering about taking that step. And then he says, there's exceeding riches, Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Let me try and break that down for you. A British Army officer made an estimate of the need of all of those dear people that were going into the wilderness and had to be there for 40 years. And he makes this amazing statement. He says, supposing each man or woman needed a pound of food per day, he says that would be 900 tons per day for 40 years. Supposing each man or woman and young person had a need of a gallon of water every day, and that, he said, would come to 29 wells pumping at the rate of 6,000 gallons per hour for 40 years. Yet, isn't it interesting that in all of that, God was neither drained nor strain. There was sufficient for every need. He was no weaker, no poorer, because God is able to give us much more than this. But then very quickly there's the reality of God's promises. Not only the ability of God's performance, and not only the enormity of God's provision, but there's the reality of God's present promises. What a wonderful blessing. The reality of God's promises. And you see, that's exactly what Amaziah had to do. He had to claim the promises of God. And to do that, he had to separate himself from those who would hinder his life for God. He had to submit himself to obey God's truth. God's teaching. He had to strengthen himself to lead God's people. He had to give himself, dear friends, wholly and solely to the Lord. You say that's a tall order, preacher. Yes, it is. That's a task not easily taken on. That's a heavy shoulder task. Yes, it is. But oh my, when we do it God's way, what a blessing. I was reading this some years ago and I,
I put it into my notes. It says, an old silver-haired woman, the hot tears flowing down her furrowed brows and cheeks, her worn hands busy over a washboard in a room of poverty, prays for her son John. John, who had run away from home when in his teens to become a sailor, was reported to become a very wicked man. But mother prayed that her son would be one day of useful to God in service. That mother believed two things. She believed the power of God and the salvation to see God at work in her boy. And she prayed on. And God answered by working a miracle in that lad's life. His name was John Newton, as I'm sure you've already guessed. John Newton, the drunken sailor, became John Newton, the sailor preacher man. And among the many he led to Christ was a man called Thomas Scott, cultured, selfish, and self-satisfied. But because of the washerwoman's prayers, he was wonderfully saved. God worked a miracle in his life. And Thomas Scott was used both with pen and voice to lead thousands to Christ. Among them, a man named William Cowper, who inspired many, many, who was inspired to write many, many hymns. There is a fountain filled with blood. That song has become to many a pointer to the Savior. And among them was one called William Wilberforce, a man who was a statesman and unfastened the shackles of millions of slaves. And among the many that he led to the Lord was a man called Lee Richmond, a clergyman who penned the book, The Dairyman's Daughter, which was translated into 40 different languages. And like a leaping flame, it burned the love of Christ into thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And as a result of a mother's prayerful desires for the Lord. Wonder, friends, in this short time, must we end this message by you thinking to yourself, well, I've seen the best that God can do with me and it's not much? Or are you thinking to yourself, well, God's resources seem to be given to everybody else but me? Or are you thinking to yourself, well, I'm not educated enough to know much of the Word. I'm not that kind of individual. Or are you sitting there this morning saying to yourself, well, the winds of God just don't blow on me as they do on others? Oh, dear friends, no, 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 a thousand times no. Let me encourage you as we conclude this morning. Bow in the moment of this meeting and give yourself afresh to the Lord. Bow in the moment of this meeting and surrender again that life that maybe you did years ago, but it's been lying on the shelf unused. Bow yourself in His presence, for with God, nothing is impossible. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Let's conclude this morning as we sing.